The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus spoke to the crowds about the kingdom of God, and he healed those he needed to be cured. As the day was drawing to a close, the 12 approached him and said, "Dismiss the crowd so that they can go to the surrounding villages and farms and find lodging and provisions, for we are in a deserted place." He said to them, "Give them some food yourselves." They replied, "5 loaves and 2 fish are all we have, unless we ourselves go and buy food for all these people." Now the men there numbered about 5,000. Then he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50. They did so and made them all sit down. Then taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he said a blessing over them, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied. And when the leftover fragments were picked up, they filled 12 weaker baskets." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Have you heard the name Juliana of Liege, L-E-I-G-E? Have you ever heard of that name? She was born on 1192 in Belgium. And at the age of 5, she became orphaned. Both her parents died. And she had another sister, a younger one, actually. And because their parents died, they were sent to a convent to be taken care for. And it was during their time in the convent that she really developed this intense devotion to the Eucharist. And at the age of 13, she petitioned the prioress of the convent if she could be admitted as a candidate to the order. And since most of the nuns there knew her growing up in the same place, they admitted her. And it was said that during her time in the convent, she had visions from the Lord. And one of those visions that she had, she saw a moon striped with vertical lines. And she was so perplexed as to what was this moon with vertical lines signify. So she brought it to prayer. And in there, she had another vision, and the Lord revealed to her that the moon represented the church or the world. But the Lord never mentioned about the stripes across the moon. So she brought the prayer, again as to what the stripes are. And it was revealed by the Lord since then, after she brought it to prayer, that there is one solemnity that is missing in the liturgical calendar of the church, and that she has to petition the bishop to start it in the Diocese of Liege. And that solemnity is the solemnity that we celebrate today, the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Christ, Corpus Christi. It was petitioned by a young girl. And when she went to the bishops for the first time in his diocese, they just rebuked her and said, "Why do we need to set aside
a solemnity for something that we do every day. We do Mass every day, so why do we have to? So she gave up. And actually, for 20 years, she said in her diary, the Lord will remind her, go back to your bishop, ask again for the solemnity, until she did. And finally, the bishop agreed to institute the first Corpus Christi solemnity or celebration in the Diocese of Liege. And one of the archdeacons in that diocese by the name of Roberto Pantaleone, who later on became a pope, named Pope Urban IV. Pope Urban IV, when he became pope, 3 years after that, and 6 years after the death of Juliana, instituted the celebration of the Corpus Christi in the entire Catholic Church. She died actually in her room, requesting that same night if the Blessed Sacrament can be brought to her room. And she died adoring the Lord with the Blessed Sacrament. Pope Urban IV was the same pope who petitioned St. Thomas Aquinas to come up with two Eucharistic hymns that we sing until this very day, the Tantum Ergo and also the Panis Angelicus. But this was all started by a very young girl, Juliana. Thanks to Juliana, we're here today to celebrate this feast. 500 years after her death, she was canonized. So she is Saint Juliana now. Why make a fuss about the Eucharist, something that we celebrate each day? You know, for some of us here. You know, I can never emphasize this more plainly and importantly. If there is one thing, one reason why we're Catholics, it's because of the Eucharist. If you're going to be asked, it's like, I'm not going to give you any other option, but give me one reason why you're Catholic. You don't have a second chance or second reason to be a Catholic. I mean, there's so many things about being a Catholic. You know, seeing Colleen here. You know, Colleen, I'm sorry, you know, if I put you on the spot, but I do. I like to see you. You know, hanging out with friends and all of those things, going coffee and donuts. I mean, those things are great. Going to St. Vincent de Paul to serve, you know, those things are wonderful. But if you're only going to be asked, give me one reason why you're Catholic, I hope the reason that we give, the sole reason, it's because of the Eucharist. And why the Eucharist, guys? The Eucharist, I've mentioned to you before so many times, is not a symbol. It is not a representation of Christ. It is Christ Himself. In fact, the exact words that is the exact words used in the documents of the church is that the Eucharist makes the church. The Eucharist makes the church, and it follows with this explanation. Why? Because in the Eucharist, we have the whole spiritual wealth of the church. The whole. I want to emphasize that with capital letters, with millions lines. The whole, I mean everything. That is why we were told we are also exhorted by our faith that if there is any kind of real poverty, you know, poverty of spirit, the poverty that we could experience is not being able to partake in the Eucharist. Because the Eucharist is God Himself offering to you and telling you, I'm giving you my all. my soul, my divinity, everything. So if you have Him, we are the richest and the wealthiest of all people. But you know, how convinced are you of that? I tell you this, the only reason why I become a priest, aside from being inspired when I was young, you know, and I was in the Philippines and I used to serve at Mass, and the priests there always eat a lot of food. So I said, oh, I want to be a priest. At least, you know, God, you know, it's like, oh, they always like plenty of food, you know, on the table after Mass. And we peek on the rectory and it's like, oh, that inspired me to be a priest. But now I, you know, I barely eat. But after realizing about the Eucharist, this is the only reason, I mean, the first reason why I become a priest. I've said this before, being a priest for 12 years now, I have seen a lot. I have experienced a lot already. And I tell you, frustrating things about the church, you know, you name it. The scandals in the church, incompetence, what else? Mean people in the church. You know, sometimes you think like people in the church are nice. Well, we're in need of salvation. And there are many discouraging things. And there are times when I come to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, until when will I be able to stay here? Well, not at this place, but in the church. But I realize it's like, where else should I go? You have the words of everlasting life. Where else will I be able to have you in the Eucharist and receive you? Where else? But as what I mentioned there in my bulletin article this week, and it doesn't mean though that since we have this most important gift that we just become complacent and not become the best version of ourselves and not aim for any kind of changes in the other areas of the church. It is precisely because we're convinced of the most important gift of the Eucharist that we ask people to be accountable for their actions. That we make our churches safe, our children safe. That we provide for everybody programs that would really nurture their spiritual life. We cannot just say, oh, anyway, we have the Eucharist, we have the most important gift, we just forget everything. No. The more we are moved to be service to those who are in need, the more we become the leaven or the yeast for the world. You know, that is why the Eucharist is not just something that we queue in line and it's like, okay, God, the most important gift, and I'm just going to stay in my own little world. Every aspect of the faith has two, what we call the cruciform, two vertical lines. First, the vertical, I mean two lines, the vertical and the horizontal. The vertical is a relationship with God. We have to understand why the Eucharist is important. We have to understand the theology of the Eucharist so that the more we understand, the more we are convinced of it, the more we deepen our relationship with God. We have to be able to do that. We have to be able to know the history and the aspects of that so that we become more informed. But that is just one piece though. We should have also bear in mind the horizontal line, how this belief in the Eucharist transforms my love for the other, for the neighbor. It's so interesting. The institution of the Eucharist happened, you know, which we celebrate every Holy Thursday, right? Holy Thursday, the institution of the Eucharist, the Mass of the Lord's Supper, the first Mass. And what is the gospel for that Mass? Very good. Washing of the feet. The washing of the feet. Not even about this. The washing of the feet. The institution of the Eucharist that tells us the completion of our Eucharistic experience can only be realized by love, by service, by seeing the presence of God in the other person. If it just stays in the head, no matter how eloquent and how erudite we are with faith, it's incomplete. The completion is service. The same thing, even with the commandments. What's the first commandment? Love God with all your heart, with all your mind, soul, and divinity. You know, love God with all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, and all of that. But he reinforces it with the other, and love your neighbor. You cannot just love me and neglect the other. How convinced are you guys of the Eucharist and its transformative power? How convinced are you? Is it the most important treasure in your life? And if it's not, ask for the intercession of St. Juliana. Ask the intercession of St. Juliana. I'm so amazed with this young girl. You know, orphan at the very young age, if I were that girl, I would probably just like, Lord, why did you abandon me? I would probably be resentful of the misfortunes that I experienced in my life, early part of my life. But this young girl, it's amazing how God continues to offer to us. You know, we're celebrating Father's Day this weekend. And, 2 minutes. And this is my last homily, so give me a break a little bit. You know, just remember, it's like, oh, his last homily was the longest. Thanks be to God, he's no longer here. Anyway. The Father, because he is the best dad, he's the best dad. The best gift that he gives us every single day is his very self. And that is right here in the Eucharist. He knows truly what we truly need. And it's accessible for us. I've said this in the bulletin, and this is not just a pious kind of remark. You know me. I'm not, you know, that person. Well, sorry. It came out bad. I want to be pious, but, you know, in a positive way. But I said there in my article there that hopefully in these 8 years, if there's one thing that I am able to share with you and I'm able to offer to you is that you're able to fall in love more and more with the Eucharist. Hopefully, I have accomplished that, because if not, I would be a failure. Because your testimony to the faith has enriched my faith. Your participation at Mass, your devotion at Mass has enriched my faith. So really, even though we might be miles and miles apart, you know, we will see each other again in the Eucharist. For every time we gather as a communion of faith in the Eucharist, wherever we are in the same table of the Lord. Thank you, and see you in the Eucharist. Now that just extended my homily.